Also on November 2nd, we commemorate St. Malachi, Bishop. During his childhood, Malachi would often separate himself from his companions to converse in prayer with God. At the age of 25, he was ordained priest. His devotion and zeal led to his being consecrated Bishop of Connor, and shortly afterwards he was made Archbishop of his native city, Armagh. This see, having by a long-standing abuse been held as an heirloom in one family, it required on the part of the saint no little tact and firmness to allay the dissensions caused by his election. One day, while St. Malachi was burying the dead, he was laughed at by his sister. When she died, he said many masses for her. Sometime afterwards, in a vision, he saw her, dressed in mourning, standing in a churchyard, and saying that she had not tasted food for 30 days. Remembering that it was just 30 days since he last offered the adorable sacrifice for her, he began again to do so, and was rewarded by other visions, in the last of which he saw her within the church, clothed in white, near the altar, and surrounded by bright spirits. He twice made a pilgrimage to Rome to consult Christ's vicar, the first time returning as papal legate amid the joy of his people with the pall for Armagh, but the second time bound for a happier home. He was taken ill at Clairvaux. He died, age 54, where he fain would have lived, in St. Bernard's Monastery, on the 2nd of November, 1148. Reflection. Our Lord said to St. Gertrude, God accepts every soul you set free, as if you had redeemed him from captivity, and will reward you in a fitting time for the benefit you have conferred. November 3rd, St. Hubert, Bishop. St. Hubert's early life is so obscured by popular traditions that we have no authentic account of his actions. He is said to have been passionately addicted to hunting and was entirely taken up in worldly pursuits. One thing is certain, that he is the patron saint of hunters. Moved by divine grace, he resolved to renounce the world. His extraordinary fervor and the great progress which he made in virtue and learning strongly recommended him to St. Lambert, Bishop of Maastricht, who ordained him priest and entrusted him with the principal share in the administration of his diocese. That holy prelate being barbarously murdered in 681, St. Hubert was unanimously chosen his successor. With incredible zeal, he penetrated into the most remote and barbarous places of Ardennes and abolished the worship of idols. And as he performed the office of the apostles, God bestowed on him a like gift of miracles. He died on the 30th of May in 727, reciting to his last breath the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Reflection. What the wise man has said of wisdom may be applied to grace, that he ordereth the means with gentleness and attaineth its end with power. November 4th, St. Charles Borromeo. About 50 years after the Protestant heresy had broken out, our Lord raised up a mere youth to renew the face of his church. In 1560, Charles Borromeo, then 22 years of age, was created cardinal, and by the side of his uncle, Pius IV, administered the affairs of the Holy See. His first care was the direction of the Council of Trent. He urged forward its sessions, guided its deliberations by continual correspondence from Rome, and by his firmness carried it to its conclusion. Then he entered upon a still more arduous work, the execution of its decrees. As Archbishop of Milan, he enforced their observance and thoroughly restored the discipline of his see. He founded schools for the poor, seminaries for the clerics, and by his community of oblates, trained his priests to perfection. Inflexible in maintaining discipline, to his flock he was a most tender father. He would sit by the roadside to teach a poor man the Pater and the Ave, and would enter hovels the stench of which drove his attendants from the door. During the great plague, he refused to leave Milan, and was ever by the sick and dying, and sold even his bed for their support. So he lived, and so he died, a faithful image of the Good Shepherd, up to his last hour, giving his life for his sheep. Reflection. Daily resolutions to fulfill at all cost every duty demanded by God is the lesson taught by St. Charles, and a lesson we must learn if we would overcome our corrupt nature and reform our lives. November 5th, St. Bertil, Abbess. St. Bertil was born of one of the most illustrious families in the territory of Soissons in the reign of Dagobert I. As she grew up, she learned perfectly to despise the world and earnestly desired to renounce it. Not daring to tell this to her parents, she first consulted St. Owen, by whom she was encouraged in her resolution. The saint's parents were then made acquainted with her desire, which God inclined them not to oppose. They conducted her to a great monastery in Brie, 4 leagues from Meaux, where she was received with great joy and trained up in the strictest practice of monastic perfection. By her perfect submission to all her sisters, she seemed everyone's servant and acquitted herself with such great charity and edification that she was chosen prioress to assist the abbess in her administration. About the year 646, she was appointed first abbess of the abbey of Chael, which she governed for 46 years with equal vigor and discretion until she closed her penitential life in 692. Reflection. It is written that the saints raise themselves heavenward, going from virtue to virtue as by steps. November 6th, St. Leonard. Leonard, one of the chief personages of the court of Clovis, and for whom this monarch had stood as sponsor in baptism, was so moved by the discourse and example of St. Remigius that he relinquished the world in order to lead a more perfect life. The Bishop of Reims, having trained Leonard to virtue, he became the apostle of such of the Franks as still remained pagans, but fearing that he might be summoned to the court by his reputation for sanctity, he withdrew secretly to the monastery of Missy near Orleans, and afterwards to the solitude of Noblac, Lir near Limoges. His charity not allowing him to remain inactive while he was so much work to be done, he undertook the work of comforting prisoners, making them understand that the captivity of sin was more terrible than any mere bodily constraint. He won over a great many of these unfortunate persons, which gained for him many disciples, in whose behalf he founded a new monastery. St. Leonard died about the year 550. Reflection. The wicked shall be taken with his own iniquities, and shall be held by the cords of his own sin. November 7th, St. Willibrord. Willibrord was born in Northumberland, A.D. 657, and when 20 years old went to Ireland to study under St. Egbert. 12 years later, he felt drawn to convert the great pagan tribes who were hanging as a cloud over the north of Europe. He went to Rome for the blessing of the Pope, and with 11 companions reached Utrecht. The pagans would not accept the religion of their enemies, the Franks, and St. Willibrord could only labor in the track of Pepin Heristal, converting the tribes whom Pepin subjugated. At Pepin's urgent request, he again went to Rome and was consecrated Archbishop of Utrecht. He was stately and comely in person, frank and joyous, wise in counsel, pleasant in speech, in every work of God strenuous and unwearied. Multitudes were converted, and the saint built churches and appointed priests all over the land. He wrought many miracles and had the gift of prophecy. He labored unceasingly as bishop for more than 50 years, beloved alike of God and of man, and died full of days and good works. Reflection. True zeal has its root in the love of God. It can never be idle. It must labor, toil, be doing great things. It glows as fire. It is like fire, insatiable. See if this spirit be in you. November 8th, the Feast of the Holy Relics. Protestantism pretends to regard the veneration which the Church pays to the relics of the saints as a sin, and contends that this pious practice is a remnant of paganism. The Council of Trent, on the contrary, has decided that the bodies of the martyrs and other saints who were living members of Jesus Christ and temples of the Holy Ghost are to be honored by the faithful. This decision was based upon the established usage of the earliest days in the Church and upon the teaching of the Fathers and of the Councils. The Council orders, however, that all abuse of this devotion is to be avoided carefully and forbids any relics to be exposed which have not been approved by the bishops, and these prelates are recommended to instruct the people faithfully in the teaching of the Church on this subject. While we regret, then, the errors of the impious and of heretics, let us profit by the advantages which we gain by hearkening to the voice of the Church. November 9th, St. Theodore Tyro, Martyr. St. Theodore was born of a noble family in the East and enrolled while still a youth in the Imperial Army. Early in 306, the emperor put forth an edict requiring all Christians to offer sacrifice, and Theodore had just joined the legion and marched with them into Pontus when he had to choose between apostasy and death. He declared before his commander that he was ready to be cut in pieces and offer up every limb to his Creator, who had died for him. Wishing to conquer him by gentleness, the commander left him in peace for a while, that he might think over his resolution. But Theodore used his freedom to set on fire the great temple of Isis, and made no secret of this act. Still, his judge entreated him to renounce his faith and save his life. But Theodore made the sign of the cross and answered, "As long as I have breath, I will confess the name of Christ." After cruel torture, the judge bade him think of the shame to which Christ had brought him. "This shame," Theodore answered, "I and all who invoke his name take with joy." He was condemned to be burnt. As the flame rose, a Christian saw his soul rise like a flash of light to heaven. Reflection. We are enlisted in the same service as the holy martyrs, and we too must have courage and constancy if we would be perfect soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let us take our part with them in confessing the faith of Christ and despising the world, that we may have our part with them in Christ's kingdom. November 10th, St. Andrew Avellino. After a holy youth, Lancelot Avellino was ordained priest at Naples. At the age of 36, he entered the Theatine order and took the name of Andrew to show his love for the cross. For 50 years he was afflicted with the most painful rupture, yet he would never use a carriage. Once, when he was carrying the viaticum and a storm had extinguished the lamps, a heavenly light encircled him, guided his steps, and sheltered him from the rain. But as a rule, his sufferings were unrelieved by God or man. On the last day of his life, St. Andrew rose to say Mass. He was in his 89th year, and so weak that he could scarcely reach the altar. He began the Judica, and fell forward in a fit of apoplexy. Laid on a straw mattress, his whole frame was convulsed in agony, while the fiend in invisible form advanced to seize his soul. Then, as his brethren prayed and wept, the voice of Mary was heard, bidding the saint's guardian angel send the tempter back to hell. A calm and holy smile settled on the features of the dying saint, as with a grateful salutation to the image of Mary, he breathed forth his soul to God. His death happened on the 10th of November, 1608. Reflection. St. Andrew, who suffered so terrible an agony, is a special patron against sudden death. Ask him to be with you in your last hour and to bring Jesus and Mary to your aid. November 11th, St. Martin of Tours. When a mere boy, Martin became a Christian catechumen against his parents' wish. and at 15 was therefore seized by his father, a pagan soldier, and enrolled in the army. One winter's day, when stationed at Amiens, he met a beggar, almost naked and frozen with cold. Having no money, he cut his cloak in two and gave him the half. That night he saw our Lord clothed in the half cloak, and heard him say to the angels, "Martin, yet a catechumen, hath wrapped me in his garment." This decided him to be baptized, and shortly after he left the army. He succeeded in converting his mother, but being driven from his home by the Arians, he took shelter with St. Hilary, and founded near Poitiers the first monastery in France. In 372 he was made Bishop of Tours. His flock, though Christian in name, was still pagan in heart. Unarmed and attended only by his monks, Martin destroyed the heathen temples and groves, and completed by his preaching and miracles the conversion of the people, whence he is known as the Apostle of Gaul. His last 11 years were spent in humble toil to atone for his faults, while God made manifest by miracles the purity of his soul. Reflection. It was for Christ crucified that St. Martin worked. Are you working for the same Lord? November 12th, St. Martin, Pope. St. Martin, who occupied the Roman See from A.D. 649 to 655, incurred the enmity of the Byzantine court by his energetic opposition to the monotheolite heresy, and the exarch Olympius went so far as to endeavor to procure the assassination of the Pope as he stood at the altar in the church of St. Mary Major. But the would-be murderer was miraculously struck blind, and his master refused to have any further hand in the matter. His successor had no such scruples. He seized Martin and conveyed him on board a vessel bound for Constantinople. After a three-month voyage, the island of Naxos was reached, where the Pope was kept in confinement for a year, and finally in 654 brought in chains to the imperial city. He was then banished to the Tauric Charency, where he lingered on for 4 months in sickness and starvation, till God released him by death on the 12th of November, 655. Reflection. There have been times in the history of Christianity when its truths have seemed on the verge of extinction, but there is one church whose testimony has never failed. It is the Church of St. Peter, the Apostolic and Roman See. Put your whole trust in her teaching. November 13th, St. Stanislaus Kostka. St. Stanislaus was of a noble Polish family. At the age of 14, he went with his elder brother Paul to the Jesuits' college at Vienna. And though Stanislaus was ever bright and sweet-tempered, his austerities were felt as a reproach by Paul, who shamefully maltreated him. This ill usage and his own penances brought on a dangerous illness, and being in a Lutheran house, he was unable to send for a priest. He now remembered to have read of his patroness, St. Barbara, that she never permitted her clients to die without the Holy Viaticum. He devoutly appealed to her aid, and she appeared with two angels, who gave him the sacred host. He was cured of this illness by Our Lady herself, and was bidden by her to enter the Society of Jesus. To avoid his father's opposition, he was obliged to fly from Vienna, and having proved his constancy by cheerfully performing the most menial offices, he was admitted to the novitiate at Rome. There he lived for 10 short months, marked by a rare piety, obedience, and devotion to his institute. He died as he had prayed to die, on the Feast of the Assumption, 1568, at the age of 17. Reflection. St. Stanislaus teaches us in every trial of life, and above all in the hour of death, to have recourse to our patron saint, and to trust without fear to his aid. November 14th. St. Didacus. St. Didacus was born in Spain in the middle of the 15th century. He was remarkable from childhood for his love of solitude, and when a youth retired and led a hermit life, occupying himself with weaving mats like the fathers of the desert. Aiming at still higher perfection, he entered the order of St. Francis. His want of learning and his humility would not allow him to aspire to the priesthood, and he remained a lay brother till his death, perfect in his close observance of the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and mortifying his will and his senses in every way that he could contrive. At one time, he was sent by his superiors to the Canary Islands, whither he went joyfully, hoping to win the crown of martyrdom. Such, however, was not God's will, and after making many conversions by his example and holy words, he was recalled to Spain. There, after a long and painful illness, he finished his days, embracing the cross which he had so dearly loved during his life. He died with the words of the hymn, Dulci Lignum, on his lips. Reflection. If God be in your heart, he will be also on your lips. For Christ has said, From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Also on November 14th, we commemorate St. Lawrence O'Toole, Archbishop of Dublin. St. Lawrence, it appears, was born about the year 1125. When only 10 years old, his father delivered him up as a hostage to Dermot MacMurchad, King of Leinster, who treated the child with great inhumanity, until his father obliged the tyrant to put him in the hands of the Bishop of Glendalough in the county of Wicklow. The holy youth, by his fidelity in corresponding with the divine grace, grew to be a model of virtues. On the death of the bishop, who was also abbot of the monastery, St. Lawrence was chosen abbot in 1150, though but 25 years old, and governed his numerous community with wonderful virtue and prudence. In 1161, St. Lawrence was unanimously chosen to fill the new metropolitan see of Dublin. About the year 1171, he was obliged, for the affairs of his diocese, to go over to England to see the king, Henry II, who was then at Canterbury. The saint was received by the Benedictine monks of Christ Church with the greatest honor and respect. On the following day, as the holy archbishop was advancing to the altar to officiate, a maniac, who had heard much of his sanctity and who was led on by the idea of making so holy a man another St. Thomas, struck him a violent blow on the head. All present concluded that he was mortally wounded, but the saint, coming to himself, asked for some water, blessed it, and having his wound washed with it, the blood was immediately staunched, and the archbishop celebrated Mass. In 1175, Henry II of England became offended with Roderick, the monarch of Ireland, and St. Lawrence undertook another journey to England to negotiate a reconciliation between them. Henry was so moved by his piety, charity, and prudence that he granted him everything he asked and left the whole negotiation to his discretion. Our saint ended his journey here below on the 14th of November, 1180, and was buried in the church of the abbey at Eu and the confines of Normandy. November 15th, St. Gertrude, Abbess. Gertrude was born in the year 1263 of a noble Saxon family and placed at the age of 5 for education in the Benedictine Abbey of Rodelsdorf. Her strong mind was carefully cultivated, and she wrote Latin with unusual eloquence and force. Above all, she was perfect in humility and mortification, in obedience and in all monastic observances. Her life was crowded with wonders. She has, in obedience, recorded some of her visions, in which she traces in words of indescribable beauty the intimate converse of her soul with Jesus and Mary. She was gentle to all, most gentle to sinners, filled with devotion to the saints of God, to the souls in purgatory, and above all to the passion of our Lord and to his Sacred Heart. She ruled her abbey with perfect wisdom and love for 40 years. Her life was one of great and almost continual suffering, and her longing to be with Jesus was not granted till A.D. 1334, when she had reached her 72nd year. Reflection. No preparation for death can be better than to offer and resign ourselves anew to the divine will, humbly, lovingly, with unbounded confidence in the infinite mercy and goodness of God. November 16th, St. Edmund of Canterbury. St. Edmund left his home at Abingdon, a boy of 12 years old, to study at Oxford, and there protected himself against many grievous temptations by a vow of chastity and by espousing himself to Mary for life. He was soon called to active public life, and as treasurer of the Diocese of Salisbury showed such charity to the poor that the dean said he was rather the treasure than the treasurer of their church. In 1234 he was raised to the See of Canterbury, where he fearlessly defended the rights of church and state against the avarice and greed of Henry III. But finding himself unable to force that monarch to relinquish the livings which he kept vacant for the benefit of the royal coffers, Edmund retired into exile sooner than appear to connive at so foul a wrong. After 2 years spent in solitude and prayer, he went to his reward, and the miracles wrought at his tomb were so numerous that he was canonized in 1246, within 4 years of his death. Reflection. The saints were tempted even more than ourselves, but they stood where we fall because they trusted to Mary and not to themselves. November 17th, St. Gregory Thaumaturgus. St. Gregory was born in Pontus of heathen parents. In Palestine, about the year 231, he studied philosophy under the great Origen, who led him from the pursuit of human wisdom to Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Not long after, he was made bishop of Neo-Caesarea in his own country. As he lay awake one night, an old man entered his room and pointed to a lady of superhuman beauty and radiant with heavenly light. This old man was St. John the Evangelist, and the lady told him to give Gregory the instruction he desired. Thereupon he gave St. Gregory a creed which contained in it its fullness the doctrine of the Trinity. St. Gregory set it in writing, directed all his preaching by it, and handed it down to his successors. Strong in his faith, he subdued demons, he foretold the future. At his word a rock moved from its place, a river changed its course, a lake was dried up. He converted his diocese and strengthened those under persecution. He struck down a rising heresy, and when he was gone, his creed preserved his flock from the Arian pest. St. Gregory died in the year 270. Reflection. Devotion to the Blessed Mother of God is the sure protection of faith in her divine Son. Every time that we invoke her, we renew our faith in the incarnate God. We reverse the sin and unbelief of our first parents. We take our part with her who was blessed because she believed. November 18th, St. Odo of Cluny. On Christmas Eve, A.D. 877, a noble of Aquitaine implored Our Lady to grant him a son. His prayer was heard. Odo was born, and his grateful father offered him to St. Martin. Odo grew in wisdom and in virtue, and his father longed to see him shine at court. But the attraction of grace was too strong. Odo's heart was sad, and his health failed until he forsook the world and sought refuge under the shadow of St. Martin at Tours. Later on, he took the habit of St. Benedict and was compelled to become abbot of the great Abbey of Cluny, which was then building. He ruled it with the hand of a master and the winningness of a saint. The Pope sent for him often to act as peacemaker between contending princes, and it was one of those missions of mercy that he was taken ill at Rome. At his urgent entreaty, he was borne back to Tours, where he died at the feet of his own St. Martin, A.D. 942. Reflection. It needs only, says Father Newman, for a Catholic to show devotion to any saint, in order to receive special benefits from his intercession. November 19th, St. Elizabeth of Hungary. Elizabeth was the daughter of a king of Hungary and niece of St. Hedwig. She was betrothed in infancy to Louis, Landgrave of Thuringia, and brought up in his father's court. Not content with receiving daily numbers of poor in her palace and receiving all in distress, she built several hospitals where she served the sick, dressing the most repulsive sores with her own hands. Once, as she was carrying in the folds of her mantle some provisions for the poor, she met her husband returning from the chase. Astonished to see her bending under the weight of her burden, he opened the mantle, which she kept pressed against her, and found in it nothing but beautiful red and white roses, although it was not the season for flowers. Bidding her pursue her way, he took one of the marvelous roses and kept it all his life. On her husband's death, she was cruelly driven from her palace and forced to wander through the streets with her little children, a prey to hunger and cold. But she welcomed all her sufferings and continued to be the mother of the poor, converting many by her holy life. She died in 1231 at the age of 24. Reflection. This young and delicate princess made herself the servant and the nurse of the poor. Let her example teach us to disregard the opinions of the world and to overcome our natural repugnances in order to serve Christ in the persons of his poor. November 20th, St. Felix of Valois. St. Felix was son of the Count of Valois. His mother, throughout his youth, did all she could to cultivate in him a spirit of charity. The unjust divorce between his parents matured a long-formed resolution of leaving the world and confiding his mother to her pious brother Theobald, Count of Champagne. He took the Cistercian habit at Clairvaux. His rare virtues drew on him such admiration that with St. Bernard's consent he fled to Italy, where he led an austere life with an aged hermit. At this time he was ordained priest, and his old counselor having died, he returned to France and for many years lived as a solitary at Cerfroid. Here God inspired him with the desire of founding an order for the redemption of Christian captives, and moved St. John of Matha, then a youth, to conceive a similar wish. Together they drew up the rules of the Order of the Holy Trinity. Many disciples gathered round them, and seeing that the time had come for further action, the two saints made a pilgrimage to Rome to obtain the confirmation of the order from Innocent III. Their prayer was granted, and the last 15 years of Felix's long life were spent in organizing and developing his rapidly increasing foundations. He died A.D. 1213. Reflection. Think how much, says St. John Chrysostom, and how often thy mouth has sinned, and thou wilt devote thyself entirely to the conversion of sinners. For by this one means thou wilt blot out all thy sins, in that thy mouth will become the mouth of God. November 21st, the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Religious parents never fail by devout prayer to consecrate their children to the divine service and love, both before and after their birth. Some amongst the Jews, not content with this general consecration of their children, offer them to God in their infancy, by the hands of the priests in the temple, to be lodged in apartments belonging to the temple, and brought up in attending the priests and Levites in the sacred ministry. It is an ancient tradition that the Blessed Virgin Mary was thus solemnly offered to God in the temple in her infancy. This festival of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin, the Church celebrates this day. The tender soul of Mary was then adorned with the most precious graces, an object of astonishment and praise to the angels, and of the highest complaisance to the adorable Trinity, the Father looking upon her as his beloved daughter, the Son as one chosen and prepared to become his mother, and the Holy Ghost as his darling spouse. Mary was the first who set up the standard of virginity, and by consecrating it by a perpetual vow to our Lord, she opened the way to all virgins who have since followed her example. Reflection. Mary's first presentation to God was an offering most acceptable in His sight. Let our consecration of ourselves to God be made under her patronage and assisted by her powerful intercession and the union of her merits. November 22nd, Saint Cecilia, Virgin and Martyr. In the evening of her wedding day, with the music of the marriage hymn ringing in her ears, Cecilia, a rich, beautiful, and noble Roman maiden, renewed the vow by which she had consecrated her virginity to God. Pure be my heart, and undefiled my flesh, for I have a spouse you know not of, an angel of my Lord. The heart of her young husband, Valerian, was moved by her words. He received baptism, and within a few days he and his brother, Tiburtius, who had been brought by him to a knowledge of the faith, sealed their confession with their blood. Cecilia only remained. "Do you not know," was her answer to the threats of the prefect, "that I am a bride of my Lord Jesus Christ?" The death appointed for her was suffocation, and she remained a day and a night in a hot air bath, heated 7 times its wont. But the flames had no power over her body, neither was a hair of her head singed. The lictor sent to dispatch her struck with trembling hand the 3 blows which the law allowed, and left her still alive. For 2 days and nights, Cecilia lay with her head half severed on the pavement of her bath, fully sensible, and joyfully awaiting her crown. On the 3rd, the agony was over, and A.D. 177, the Virgin Saint gave back her pure spirit to Christ. Reflection. Saint Cecilia teaches us to rejoice in every sacrifice as a pledge of our love of Christ, and to welcome sufferings and death as hastening our union with Him. November 23rd, Saint Clement of Rome. Saint Clement is said to have been a convert of noble birth and to have been consecrated bishop by Saint Peter himself. With the words of the apostles still ringing in his ears, he began to rule the Church of God, and thus he was among the first, as he was among the most illustrious, in the long line of those who have held the place and power of Peter. He lived at the same time and in the same city with Domitian, the persecutor of the Church, and besides external forces, he had to contend with schism and rebellion from within. The Corinthian Church was torn by intestine strife, and its members set the authority of their clergy at defiance. It was then that Saint Clement interfered in the plenitude of his apostolic authority and sent his famous epistle to the Corinthians. He urged the duties of charity and, above all, of submission to the clergy. He did not speak in vain. Peace and order were restored. Saint Clement had done his work on earth and shortly after sealed with his blood the faith which he had learned from Peter and taught to the nations. Reflection. God rewards a simple spirit of submission to the clergy, for the honor done to them is done to Him. Your virtue is unreal, your faith in danger, if you fail in this. November 24th, Saint John of the Cross. The father of St. John was discarded by his kindred for marrying a poor orphan, and the saint, thus born and nurtured in poverty, chose it also for his portion. Unable to learn a trade, he became the servant of the poor in the hospital of Medina, while still pursuing his sacred studies. In 1563, being then 21, he humbly offered himself as a lay brother to the Carmelite friars, who, however, knowing his talents, had him ordained priest. He would now have exchanged to the severe Carthusian order, had not Saint Teresa, with the instinct of a saint, persuaded him to remain and help her in the reform of his own order. Thus he became the first prior of the barefooted Carmelites. His reform, though approved by the general, was rejected by the elder friars, who condemned the saint as a fugitive and apostate, and cast him into prison, whence he only escaped after 9 months' suffering at the risk of his life. Twice again before his death, he was shamefully persecuted by his brethren and publicly disgraced. But his complete abandonment by creatures only deepened his interior peace and devout longing for heaven. Reflection. Live in the world, said St. John, as if God and your soul only were in it. So shall your heart be never made captive by any earthly thing. November 25th, St. Catherine of Alexandria. Catherine was a noble virgin of Alexandria. Before her baptism, it is said, she saw a vision. The Blessed Virgin asked her son to receive her among his servants, but the divine infant turned away. After baptism, Catherine saw the same vision, when Jesus Christ received her with great affection and espoused her before the court of heaven. When the impious tyrant Maximin II came to Alexandria, fascinated by the wisdom, beauty, and wealth of the saint, he in vain urged his suit. At last, in his rage and disappointment, he ordered her to be stripped and scourged. She fled to the Arabian mountains, where the soldiers overtook her, and after many torments, put her to death. Her body was laid in Mount Sinai, and a beautiful legend relates that Catherine, having prayed that no man might see or touch her body after death, angels bore it to the grave. Reflection. The constancy displayed by the saints in their glorious martyrdom cannot be isolated from their previous lives, but is their natural sequence. If we wish to emulate their perseverance, let us first imitate their fidelity to grace. November 26th, St. Peter of Alexandria, Bishop and Martyr. St. Peter governed the Church of Alexandria during the persecution of Diocletian. The sentence of excommunication that he was the first to pronounce against the schismatics, Meletish and Arius, and which, despite the united efforts of powerful partisans, he strenuously upheld, proves that he possessed as much sagacity as zeal and firmness. But his most constant care was employed in guarding his flock from the dangers arising out of persecution. He never ceased repeating to them that in order not to fear death, it was needful to begin by dying to self, renouncing our will, and detaching ourselves from all things. St. Peter gave an example of such detachment by undergoing martyrdom in the year 311. Reflection. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God, says our Savior, because they are bound to earth by the strong ties of their riches. At the conclusion of the music, please go to the next tape.